about 10 or 11 months ago, when we made our schedule for the year, we decided that on October 14 we would have a mass. The men's choir would prepare the music. We would pick a theme, and the theme comes from today's gospel: blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. It's on a Saturday, so we're not planning to honor the saint of today, Saint Callistus, a pope and martyr of the early church. I was probably thinking at the time, since it's a Saturday and it's the gospel refers to the Blessed Virgin Mary very graphically, that we would probably have a mass in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday. But who knew that on October 7, our sister Thelma would be taken home to the Lord in Iloilo, in her province, and that she would be cremated that day, and that the wake would take place there in Iloilo, and that yesterday, on October 13, the urn would be brought here to Metro Manila, and that today she's here. Her remains are here before the altar. There's a picture of her before the altar. We didn't know when we made our schedule for this special mass that Thelma would be joining us and the Lim family would be joining us. But it's beautiful that it happened this way. I mean, the family asked if they could have a funeral for her today. And I said, well, that's beautiful. We certainly want to honor our sister. She was an active member of Anawim for years, member of our seniors group. And today she's being committed, or what's the word, inurned in the moonwalk. So this is the only mass we'll have, or the only opportunity we have to pay our respects to Thelma. So we have this combination of reflecting on the theme, comes from the gospel, and honoring our sister and offering condolences to the family. I think Thelma would like this. She wouldn't like that she's the focus, but she would certainly like being part of this mass because she used to come here all the time. She journeyed with the community for the last, I don't know, 20 years or so of her life. I can't help but think, you know, there's another urn over there underneath the tabernacle. Is Beth here today? She's not here, okay, because just a couple of weeks ago, another one of our seniors, who was also, she was 100, Mary Lopez was 100, Thelma is 101. They were contemporaries, and they were both members of our seniors group. And when we got to know Thelma, she was our neighbor. That was before our center was here. Our center was over in Vita Doria, and Thelma lived just down the street from us. And when we moved here, it turned out Mary Lopez is our neighbor. She lived just down the street from here, and they died just a few weeks apart. And now they're both here in the chapel. Their remains, the urns are both here. It's striking, the parallelism of these two holy elderly sisters of ours. Okay, let's take a moment to reflect on this gospel and on this theme. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. It's a very short gospel passage, so when we were trying to pick out the theme, this is the one that stands out. It's hard to focus on the first verse where this woman just shouts out from nowhere in the crowd and says, blessed is the womb that carried you and the breasts that at which you nursed. Well, that's not the kind of thing we would normally want to focus on. In fact, it sounds kind of strange to us. You don't usually just talk about people's wombs and breasts. You don't shout out about how blessed they are. Now, maybe in the era of Jesus, it might have sounded a little bit more respectful or even praise, because obviously the woman is honoring Jesus' mother. But to us it sounds so physical, almost reductionist, like, is that all there is to being a mother? Just a womb and breasts? Is that it? It's almost insulting. In modern ears, you know, you don't reduce women to body parts, and you don't reduce motherhood to the physical dimensions of bearing children. It's considered inappropriate, and I think it is. So, but in the context of when this woman called out in Jesus' presence, I think she was really honoring Mary. She might not have known who she was, or maybe she was even standing there. We don't know where Mary was at this time, but the woman was trying to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she just used this these very fundamental physical elements of motherhood. Of course, motherhood involves bearing children in the womb and nursing, breastfeeding the children. Those are so fundamental. Jesus very quickly turns the page or transcends, or what would you say, changes the key of the compliment to Mary. It's actually intended as a compliment to Mary and to himself. And he expands it to say, oh wait, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Now, he's not saying that his mother is not blessed. He's not saying that he's not grateful and happy that she bore him and nursed him. He's not replacing her. He's just elevating the conversation to a level that includes more than the Blessed Virgin Mary, her and everyone else who hears the word of God and observes it. In fact, I know some people think this is a kind of a put down of Mary, but if we know who Mary is, we know that this expression Jesus uses applies to her even better and more than anyone else. If anyone heard the word of God and observed it, it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. So perfectly that the word became flesh in her. She heard and accepted and observed the word so perfectly that she became a perfect participant in the incarnation. So there isn't any higher example of hearing the word of God and observing it. That's why it's fitting that we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary today. Now, just a comment about the way this is expressed. Hearing the word of God, we understand. Observing, in to us, sounds like just looking at. And that's not what it means. It's not just observing like you're watching a TV show. Oh, I'm observing something happening on stage. No, it's participation. It's putting it into practice. It's doing it. That's what he means by observe it. We have a similar expression here on the wall behind me, this Anouim inscription. We will look upon him. It doesn't just mean we look at him, you know, looking like an audience. No, to look upon him whom we have pierced means to participate in his sacrifice, to not just to see it, but also to own it, to become part of it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and participate in it and follow it and put it into practice, who put flesh on it. Some commentators have tried to compare what the woman said and what Jesus said. Blessed is the womb that carried you, corresponding to hearing the word, and the breast at which you nursed, corresponding to observing it or putting it into practice. I don't know if that's a very effective way of understanding it, but there's these two elements in both of the statements. Receiving in the womb is a kind of hearing, and nursing at the breast is a kind of a practice, I suppose. But the point of Jesus is there's more to engaging the word of God than simply hearing it. There's also responding to it, putting it into practice. And that's what we're all called to do. And that's the blessing that is available to all of us. This is a beatitude, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. If we do this, we're blessed. That's the blessing that Jesus wants us to experience, to participate in. To hear the word, yes, but then to be transformed by the word and to put flesh on the word. You see how dear this expression is to the Anouim, because this is the Anouim spirituality. To take in the word, to ponder the word. To ponder means more than just to listen. To ponder means to let the word change us, sometimes cut us, sometimes challenge us, sometimes encourage and console us. But it's a living engagement with the word of God. Now, I've said that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the premier example of this. We can think of this in any stage of her life, but two moments of Mary's life especially stand out in relation to this hearing and observing. The first one, at the Annunciation, when she hears the word that she is being invited to be the Mother of God. She hears that word, And she says yes to it. Let it be done to me according to your word. The perfect response to the word. Yes, let what you say fully take place in me. That's how God became flesh. That's how the word became flesh. That's how the incarnation took place, through Mary's hearing the word and observing it. That's one moment, a joyful moment, something we celebrate. Then the second moment I want to point out is on display here, Mary at the foot of the cross. This time she's hearing the word. She's, and the word is, I'm laying down my life in sacrifice. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. She's hearing this word, this word of not receiving life, and as a pronunciation, but giving life in sacrifice on the cross, and she accepts this one too. She participates fully in it. And that's the way it is when we hear the word of God and observe it. It sometimes gives us great joyful consolation, and sometimes it strengthens us to pass through terrible suffering. We honor Mary as a joyful mother, and also as a sorrowful mother, and also as a glorious mother. Now, if you know Thelma, you know I'm building up to talk about her too. If you know Thelma's journey, you know that she was very attentive to the word of God. She had a great faith. She had a very joyful spirit. But she was also a woman who endured many, many sorrows. She's a sorrowful mother. So let me just remind you of some of the stages. I know these stages myself because I journeyed with her. Well, I met her when she was probably 80 years old, 79, 80 years old, because I remember going to her 80th birthday. It was right over here, Campbell Garden. I don't know how that happened. I don't know if Thelma wanted to have a celebration for her 80th or if the family just wanted to honor her on her 80th, but we had a big party over here. I'd never been there. Is that still there, Campbell Garden? Right here on, what's the name of that street, Aventine? It's right around the corner from us here. Now, we weren't here yet, but that's where the party was, and I remember the big pictures of her travels around the world, and she had all kinds of adventures and stories. I think that her daughter, Teresa, was already sick by then, Maite, and maybe that's why part of the reason for the party was also to have a party with Maite. Anyway, that was a celebration of life, but then right soon after that, her daughter, I call her Teresa, but the family calls her Maite, she had some kind of terrible cancer, and it was a long, painful ordeal. And since she was our neighbor, I remember going to the house. I remember visiting her in the hospital several times and journeying with her. Maite was the patient, but of course, Thelma was the mother, and this is her only daughter. Did Thelma live there? They lived in the same house. I mean, that's how I remember it. It's 20 years ago. Maite died 20 years ago. And so, well, Maite herself had faith. She was accepting of the cross. But watching Thelma pass through this was also quite, it was inspiring, because she grieved, she journeyed with her sick daughter, and she transcended it. She embraced the will of God. She was not at all defeated by it. That's my memory of it. I don't know, I didn't live with her, but she just, wow. She was impressive before, but she was much more impressive when she was able to stand through this heavy loss. Her daughter was 40-something, in her 40s. Then a few years later, her son died, and he's in his 50s. That was Jerry. Denise was the widow here. And they have five children. He died kind of suddenly. I don't remember now, but Jerry lived down the street here, and Thelma lost another one of her children. And then a few years later, it was Philip. I call him Philip. And his widow, Gina, is here, and their daughter's here. And here's Thelma. She has four children. She loses three of them. Every maybe 5 or 10 years, she loses another child. And she experiences the loss like Mary at the foot of the cross, and she stands. So she celebrated her 90th birthday, she celebrated her 100th birthday, and now she, on the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, October 7th, she goes home to God. How can we not, I mean, she, like I said, Thelma might not like me doing this, but How can we not make this comparison? I mean, her funeral has this reading in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She dies on the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, and she's a sorrowful woman at the cost of three of her four children. So for the family who's lost their mother, grandmother, cousin, this is meant to be a word of condolence. But I think for all of us, it's also to be an inspiration. This is what it means to hear the word of God and observe it. It means to continue welcoming the will of God, even when it's things that we would naturally not like at all. Like the death of our own children, or any other tragedies. Well, she lost her husband before all of these. I never knew your father. I don't know when he died. When I met Thelma, I think she was already a widow. So she was a widow for, 30 years or something like that? So anyway, the point is, hearing the word of God and observing it involves joys and sorrows. It involves being able to hold on to faith, knowing that this word, whatever it might be, this experience, whatever it might be, as it's part of the will of God, is also a way of participating in the life of God. And this is more clear than ever after someone dies. Thelma, whatever she experienced in this life, whatever she understood of the experiences of this life, now sees it in a much better light. What do you think people in heaven do? They observe, they hear the word of God and observe it. They celebrate the word of God. They are delighted that God's will is so beautiful, so perfect, that the unfolding of his will in time is so extraordinary. They cannot stop giving thanks and praise to God for the beauty of his will. We're invited to start that process while we're still here, to accept in faith the word of God, accept his will, and to remain strong in faith through the ups and downs, so that we become participants in the unfolding of God's kingdom here on earth. And we can celebrate forever together with Thelma and Maite and Jerry and Philip and your father, I can't remember his name. Philip also, okay. And all our loved ones who have passed away, we can celebrate with all of them the greatness of God.